And we're going to be in Isaiah 9. So if you want to turn your Bibles there, we'll be in Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9, and I'm going to read for us from verses 2 through 7. Isaiah 9, beginning in verse 2, says this. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has a light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joys. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken, as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Father, what a great message. What good news of great joy do we have. This message delivered millennia ago to those who trusted in your promise and longed to see the expected Messiah. And the joy in those shepherds we just sang about as they greeted the baby Jesus, as they had encountered those angels in the heavens. Lord, we are inadequate to do justice to this message. But we proclaim it and we sing it, and we delight in it. So fill our hearts once more with joy as we come to your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, Rex and I were talking in staff meeting this week, and he didn't know this, but there was a part of his introduction that actually happened to be almost identical to the introduction I originally planned for tonight. And so, you know, I'd say there's at least one thing harder than preaching another Christmas message. It's preaching another Christmas message after someone else just preached another Christmas message in which they use the same introduction about preaching another Christmas message. So that's a little, you know, that's for free. You know, it's like if my previous introduction were a gift, it's under the tree unwrapped. All the surprise is gone, you know. Kind of like stumbling upon a gift that your wife bought you before Christmas when you weren't supposed to see it. Sorry, babe, where's she at? Yeah, no, that happened. Yeah, it happened. I'm sorry. But it will be just as much appreciated, unlike the former introduction. Okay, so enough with that. There's no time of year quite like Christmas. There's no time of year that is filled with more gladness and more sorrow. There's no time of year that's filled with more planning and things to do and also with more downtime. There's no time of year with more traveling and more staying at home. There's no time of year with more giving and more receiving. There's no other time quite like Christmas. And for most of us, this is kind of a turning point, right? In our year where we've turned this corner and we look forward to the new year. It's like when you're running a race and you see the finish line, it's right there in view. The different thing about this race is that as soon... So here we are, we're running the race and we see the prize. But ultimately, as we come to God's word and as we come to this time of year, all those things are in the background. All those things are the backdrop for the real thing. And the real thing that we look forward to and celebrate is a thing that happened once before and a thing that we look forward to happening again. Christ came and we celebrate. That is the why of our celebration. That is the what for of our celebration. And we look forward to a time when Christ will return. That is the why of our hope and our joy. That is the what for of our hope and our joy. So very briefly tonight, as we are looking at a few things from this passage, that's what we're going to be focused on. And I just want to give you two words, and we will be brief here with this. the two words that I want to give you is glory and gift. Because that's two things we see here in this passage in Isaiah. The glory of Christmas and the gift of Christmas. You know, this world is filled with darkness, isn't it? This world is filled with darkness, and everywhere you turn, you just keep seeing deeper and deeper and deeper darkness. And yet, while all that's going on, this is the time of year when the world thinks it's all merry and bright, right? We see the world celebrating, and I was talking with the kids the other day. They were watching something on television, and they were singing Joy to the World on this television station. But just by knowing the television station, I happen to know that it probably had nothing to do with Jesus. So they're singing Joy to the World, and as I'm thinking this in my head, Ellie says, "Daddy, do they believe in Jesus?" Because they're singing that song. And I was thinking of that right when she said it. So I said, "You know, honey, that's a great question. I'm not sure. But I do know that a lot of people sing about Jesus this time of year, even if they don't believe." But how sad is that? How sad is that to sing the glories of his righteousness, the wonders of his love, but to know nothing about it and to be walking in complete darkness? No, we, friends, are those who have walked in darkness but have seen a great light. We have seen the glory of Christmas. That's the good news. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. Zechariah, prophesying of John, the cousin of Jesus, said this: "You, child, will be called prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high and give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death." Much like Rex was speaking of a moment ago, when something's prophesied in Scripture and then when it's fulfilled, this is what we see here. In Isaiah 9, it says, "Those who sat in darkness, who walked in darkness, have seen a great light." It was looking forward to this very time. And Zechariah says, this child is going to be the one who's going to prepare the way for that light to come. John came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light which comes and gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was coming into the world riding on a sleigh with magical reindeer? No. No. The promised light did not come with magical creatures. But he was at his coming, he was preceded by heaven's armies. It wasn't magical creatures, it was magnificent creatures. Creatures that inspired fear and awe in everyone that encountered them. But it wasn't to the watching world. It wasn't to songs and jingles, it was to shepherds. Shepherds in a field, far away from the bustle of the world. God's glory shone in that field, and those shepherds saw it, and they sang with joy because they saw the glory of Christmas. And yet, the glory they saw in those heavens had no comparison to what they would behold in that manger. The babe who is God, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has ever seen God, the only God who's at the Father's side. He has made him known. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And now, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. So we celebrate because of the glory of Christmas. That is Christ Jesus, our Lord. We also celebrate because of the gift of Christmas. The gift of Christmas. You know, Christmas, at this time, children all over the world are thinking about, they're thinking with much, much wonder and amazement about the magical Santa Claus who brings their gifts to them at night. Their minds will wander as they imagine the man in the red suit coming down the chimney at night, and they might even leave some cookies and milk out for him. And as fantastical as that story is, the story of Santa Claus is far less mysterious than that of Jesus. Spurgeon once said, as well might a gnat seek to drink in the entire ocean, to drink in the entire ocean, as a finite creature to comprehend the eternal God. And yet here we are confronted with the eternal God lying in a manger. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. This is the gift of Christmas. We see the glory of Christmas in the face of Jesus Christ. We have the gift of Christmas that is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the gift, and the gift is Jesus. He's both a child and a son. He's a child because he was born a man. He was born flesh, and because he was born a man, he can relate to us. He's lived as we've lived, yet without sin. He suffered, yet not for his own sin, but for ours. That's a gift. The gift of a son is beyond what we can relate to. We can relate to the fact that Jesus is a man. We can't relate to the fact that God gave his son, the son of the Most High, lying in a manger, who had come to redeem and restore, forgiving sin and granting eternal life to all who believe. So the question that we have left with tonight, as we read through this, as we think about this, we have to ask ourselves, have we beheld this glory? Have we received this gift? Is this gift to us? And if so, we can sing with great joy. Great joy. As we leave this place, as we leave this place, we'll likely be getting together with family and friends over the next few days, and we'll be exchanging gifts. And we'll think about giving that perfect gift and the face that those kids have when they open those gifts, or that loved one that opens that surprise that they weren't expecting. But as we're giving those gifts, as we're exchanging that, and as we're sharing those times of laughter and joy, let's remember the glory of Christmas that we behold in the face of Jesus Christ. Let's remember the gift of Christmas. Let's worship the giver. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Father, we thank you for this display of glory that you've shown us in Christ. We thank you, Lord, that though we as glory thieves are undeserving to come before you, you have given the gift that would change our hearts for eternity. We once walked in darkness, but we have seen a great light. And we sing with great joy for this gift, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. It's in his name we pray.